Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today, we're switching things up a bit. We're taking a familiar story, Noah's Ark, but looking at what happens after the flood. Genesis chapter 9. It's a new world, right? Humanity gets a second chance, a fresh start.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here?
It really sets the stage for everything that comes next, you know? It's not just about rebuilding. It's about redefining humanity's place in the world, their relationship with God, with nature, with each other.
Okay, yeah. So imagine it. The waters recede, the ark is settled, Noah and his fam step out onto this clean earth. What happens?
Well, first, God establishes this covenant, this powerful promise.
Yeah, promise, right.
God says, "Never again will I destroy the world by flood." Pretty big statement after everything that just went down.
No kidding. And to sort of seal this deal, God gives a sign, something we still recognize as the rainbow.
Yeah.
It's kind of easy to forget how significant that must have been.
You think about Noah seeing that arc of color for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Across this, like, newly washed sky.
Totally.
It must have felt like, I don't know, this incredible beacon of hope.
Definitely. Like a guarantee, right, yeah. For the future.
Exactly. A tangible reminder of God's faithfulness and grace, even after all that.
Even after humanity. Well, yeah. Kind of messed things up.
And it's a message that still resonates, you know? Reminds us that after devastation, renewal is always possible.
It makes you think, huh? Maybe we should be looking for those little rainbows in our own lives, too. Those signs of hope. Especially when things get tough.
Absolutely. But this chapter is not just about promises, right? It's also about responsibility. God gives Noah and his sons this directive. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. It's a mandate to rebuild, to thrive.
Okay. And that's where we get this idea of dominion over animals. It's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. On one hand, humans are given this authority over nature, but on the other hand, there's this emphasis on respecting life.
Right, respecting life.
Yeah.
So what does it even mean to have dominion? Is it about, like, control, exploitation, or is it about taking care of things,
yeah.
Stewardship?
That's a question we're still wrestling with today, isn't it? Genesis doesn't really give a simple answer. It's more like it's pushing us to think deeper about our place in the world, you know, our ethical obligations to other living beings.
And then we have Noah's sons. Ham disrespects his father, leading to a curse on his son, Canaan. But then Shem and Japheth, they show respect and get blessings.
Definitely highlights the consequences of our actions, right? And not just for us, but for generations to come, potentially.
Whoa, that's a lot of pressure.
Right. It's a big reminder that we're all interconnected and our choices, they can have this ripple effect. You know, the consequences aren't always direct or immediate. Look at Ham, the curse falls on his son, not him directly.
Oh, wow. So it's like this chain reaction that unfolds in ways we might not expect.
Exactly. And it's worth noting that Noah blesses his sons too, you know, acknowledging their different strengths and potential futures. It's like, even within a family, there's room for diverse paths and contributions.
So it's recognizing the value of diversity, even way back then.
Absolutely. And that's a message we really need today, don't we? When the world feels so divided, true strength isn't about being uniform. It's about embracing all those differences.
Okay, so we've talked about these big themes. Covenants, new beginnings, the weight of our choices. But how does this ancient stuff connect to our lives today? What does respecting life even look like in the modern world?
That's the key, isn't it? It's one thing to read about it, but it's another to actually, like, live it out. Take the whole dominion over animals thing. In Genesis, it's tied to this rule about not eating blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Emphasizing how sacred life is.
Right. But it's not like most people are walking around tempted to drink blood.
Yeah.
So what's the application here? How does that principle play out now?
It's about changing how we think. You know, if we truly believe all life is sacred, then it changes how we approach things like factory farming or animal testing.
Oh, I see.
Even the impact we have on the environment, right? Suddenly our choices, how much we consume, it all feels a lot more important.
It's like that ripple effect again, only bigger. It's not just my own actions, but the systems I support, the industries I'm a part of.
Exactly. And it's not about shaming anyone, but more about encouraging a mindful approach. How can we live in a way that honors that interconnectedness of all things? Genesis 9 kind of throws that question back at us.
Yeah, it does. And it ties back into the whole impact of our choices, right?
Yeah.
We saw how Noah's sons, their actions, had consequences for generations down the line.
Right.
So are we thinking about the long-term impact of what we're doing today?
It's a big question, for sure. We're so used to instant gratification, quick results. But Genesis 9 reminds us to pause, you know? Think about the legacy we're creating, not just for ourselves, but for the people who come after us.
It's not just stuff we leave behind, but values, how we treat others.
Yeah.
It's the kind of world we're shaping.
Exactly. And speaking of shaping the world, let's go back to diversity for a minute. Remember, Noah blessed his sons, acknowledging their different strengths.
It's such a contrast to that curse on Canaan, right? Instead of everyone being the same in punishment, it's acknowledging individual talents, blessing each son to succeed in his own way.
It's almost like a blueprint, isn't it? A society that embraces those differences, recognizing that diversity isn't a bad thing, it's a source of strength, of creativity.
Instead of just tolerating differences, it's about appreciating them, the unique things each person brings to the table.
Yeah, like that saying, you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree.
It'll spend its whole life thinking it's stupid.
Right. So Genesis 9 encourages us to celebrate how we each swim through life.
Create environments where those different ways of being aren't just allowed, they're valued. But how do we do that?
Yeah, how do we do that? In a world that feels so polarized, how do we go beyond just talking about diversity to actually building bridges?
$1 million question.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It takes a willingness to listen, to empathize, to see things from another person's point of view.
Humility, too. Admitting we don't have all the answers, that we can learn from each other. For sure. And it's about moving beyond just talk, finding real practical ways to create a more inclusive, more equitable world.
One way might be what we're doing right now, right? Having this conversation.
You think so?
Do you think talking about these old stories can actually help us with the messy stuff of modern life?
I do, yeah. When we engage with these texts, it's not just about the past. We're forced to look at our own assumptions, our biases, our blind spots.
We start to see things differently.
Exactly. And that can open up new possibilities, new ways of understanding and acting.
So it's not about taking these stories literally or just finding the moral of the story.
Right. It's using them to spark deeper thinking, meaningful conversation.
And I think that's what makes studying these ancient texts so interesting. They have this way of speaking across time, you know, challenging us to think differently about who we are and the world around us.
It's like they're holding up this mirror, showing us not just who we were, but who we are now and who we can become.
That's powerful.
I think that's the real power of Genesis 9. It's not just a story about what happened. It's an invitation to imagine a different future, a future marked by respect, responsibility, and celebrating our shared humanity in all its messy, beautiful diversity.
We've covered so much ground in this deep dive into Genesis 9. It's amazing how much there is to unpack in just one chapter.
Right. From covenants and rainbows to dominion and diversity. It's clear that this story has a lot to say about how we should live, the impact of our choices.
For sure. And of all the images in this chapter, the one that keeps sticking with me is the rainbow. It's not just a pretty thing in the sky. It's this symbol of hope and renewal after devastation.
It is powerful. And it makes you think, doesn't it? It's not just about looking back at what happened. It's also about looking ahead to what could be.
Right. God's covenant isn't just about never flooding the world again. It's about this whole new relationship with humanity,
mm-hmm.
built on grace and promise.
Absolutely. It's like a reminder that even when things feel really bleak, when we make mistakes, there's always a possibility of a fresh start.
That's a really good way to put it. And I think that's a message we need to hear, especially when the world feels so full of challenges.
It is. But it also makes you wonder, you know, if the rainbow symbolizes that promise to never flood the world again, what about all the other floods we face today?
Oh, you mean the metaphorical floods?
Mm-hmm.
Like conflict, injustice, all the environmental damage, those mm-hmm. things that feel like they could overwhelm us.
Exactly. And I think that's where Genesis 9 really pushes us to think. If we're supposed to be stewards of creation, to act justly,
to build a world where diversity can thrive.
Right. Then maybe we have a role to play in preventing those metaphorical floods, in making sure they don't drown us.
So it's not just about waiting around for God to fix things. It's about taking responsibility.
Right.
Actively creating conditions for hope and renewal here and now.
Exactly. We're not just passive bystanders in this story. We're participants. We can make choices that make a difference.
Wow, that's empowering. It means we actually have the power to change things, to choose a different path, to co-create a better world, basically.
We do. Mm. And I think that's the ultimate challenge that Genesis 9 presents us with. It's not just a story about the past. It's a call to action. It's asking us to be architects of a future that's worthy of that rainbow.
A future where hope, justice, and diversity can all exist together.
A future where they can flourish.
Well, that's an amazing thought to leave our listeners with. Genesis 9, such an ancient text, but its message feels more urgent than ever. So we ask you, what will your contribution be? How will you help build that future? Until next time. keep diving deep.